At 73, standing in her backyard watching sunset filter through pine needles, Mary Pfeiffer realizes something profound. The golden light she's been chasing her entire life was never outside herself. Born on February 11, 1947, exactly 100 years after Thomas Edison, on the anniversary of his light bulb invention, Pfeiffer's life story reads like a meditation on illumination itself. But this isn't a memoir about easy enlightenment or Instagram-worthy epiphanies. It's about a woman who learned to find radiance in the darkest corners of human experience, abandonment, poverty, loss, and a year-long pandemic that stripped away everything she thought defined her. Through her journey, we discover something crucial. Light isn't something we find, it's something we learn to see, even when the world insists on darkness. At six, Pfeiffer lived in a cramped Missouri trailer with her father rarely home and her stomach often empty. After her parents split following her father's Korean War return, her mother stayed in Denver, completing her medical internship, while her father took custody, leaving Pfeiffer and brother Jake alone for days. That year carved permanent grooves: claustrophobia, anxiety in confined spaces, terror of losing loved ones. Yet even then, she learned her survival strategy: always find the light. It appeared in small salvations. Cousin Steve listening in the mulberry tree, Grandma Glessie's abundant meals, Aunt Grace's bright yellow kitchen. When her father announced they'd rejoin their mother, Pfeiffer and Jake danced through meadows as dew sparkled on purple clover. During their reunion, a golden light, not metaphorical, but visible, enfolded them like a halo. This luminous presence would return throughout her life at moments of profound connection. Children survive chaos by building islands of order. For Pfeiffer, these refuges included the KOA radio station fountain with its rotating colored lights dancing in cascading water, and Beaver City's small brick library where Mrs. Schaefer knew everyone by name and suggested books that opened worlds. Reading became Pfeiffer's church, her way of understanding that good people act on behalf of others. Mrs. Van Cleve, an elderly Dutch immigrant, offered to teach Pfeiffer pottery. Twice weekly for 2 years, in a sun-drenched room, Pfeiffer found something crucial, a witness to her worth. When she shared her father's assessment that with her figure and big nose she'd never marry and should become a doctor, Mrs. Van Cleve looked stunned. "He is blind to your beauty, and Mary, you are beautiful," she said, holding her hand. This sanctuary taught Pfeiffer that survival demands finding people who reflect back our inherent value when families cannot. The women in her mother's family embodied stoic resilience wrapped in grace. Her grandmother valued education and classical music despite lacking voting rights until after her third child. Her mother, Avis, the only doctor in Furnas County, brought Pfeiffer on house calls, Pfeiffer reading in the car during daytime visits, sleeping there at night. Her aunts provided the emotional education her busy mother couldn't. Aunt Margaret introduced her to literature and progressive politics. If you are a reader, you can experience thousands of lives. Aunt Agnes, married to a cruel farmer, maintained dignity while managing farm work and an egg business, forming a deep connection with Pfeiffer through endless conversations while cooking. Through these relationships, Pfeiffer absorbed vital lessons: work hard, remain loyal, improve the world, while these women affirmed her worth through attention and encouragement to think ambitiously. At 14, working as a car hop at the A&W on Highway 81, Pfeiffer observed human nature in its raw forms: tired truckers, lonely bachelors, families radiating kindness, or sitting in icy silence. Some parents ate ice cream while their hungry children watched, revealing darker truths about love and neglect. One night became a turning point. Her father took her fishing on a pier at Padre Island. As he caught silvery flounder, she absorbed everything: water splashing against pilings, the fishy air, stars hanging low, distant shrimp boats with bogging lights. She experienced an epiphany. All was right with the world. She consciously committed every detail to memory: her father humming Glenn Miller, her orange-striped shirt, the lights, smells, and liquid air. That night, she taught herself the skill of storing moments of revelation and joy, recognizing this as valuable in a world filled with at least as much shadow as sunlight. This wasn't naive optimism. It was strategic emotional preparation, building an internal reservoir of light to draw from during inevitable darkness. Pfeiffer's sophomore year collapsed. Her roommate and boyfriend fled to Canada. Her father suffered a stroke at 50, leaving him paralyzed, partially blind, and able to speak only four words: cigarette, shit, goddammit, and coffee, none matching his thoughts. Her boyfriend Larry was diagnosed with psychosis. Drowning in guilt, believing her relationship caused her father's stroke, she fled to San Francisco, then Mexico, then London. At 23, she found herself pregnant by a controlling man she didn't want to marry, broke and coatless in a Kansas winter. Her ashamed mother didn't want her home. Female friends shared their homes and food. When her son Zeke was born in early March, her mother surprisingly attended, but offered to keep the baby until Pfeiffer finished medical school. Pfeiffer was horrified. In her hospital room, gazing into her newborn sky blue eyes as golden sunlight streamed through the window, she named him Ezekiel Sunrise, knowing she would grow up for him. Sometimes our greatest disasters become our most profound teachers, forcing us to finally choose ourselves. In summer 1972, desperate for a future, Pfeiffer drove to Lincoln seeking a graduate program. After the anthropology department accepted her without funding, she impulsively visited the psychology department, where James Cole miraculously offered her a fully funded position. There, she met Jim, who excelled in statistics and tutored her despite their agreement to remain just study buddies. One December night, as snow fell and firelight danced, she confessed to having non-study buddy feelings. After a long pause, he gruffly admitted the same. They would share 50 years together. When Reviving Ophelia hit number one on the New York Times bestseller list, Pfeiffer was unprepared. Strangers recognized her, acquaintances suddenly sought her company, and requests overwhelmed her. As a Midwesterner taught never to stand out, she struggled with the attention. She learned that glamour exists only in others' perceptions. Success was just another test of staying grounded in what mattered, the quality of attention she brought to each moment. When COVID-19 hit in early 2020, Pfeiffer and Jim stopped leaving home. Living between Lincoln's two main hospitals, they witnessed helicopters constantly flying patients overhead, ambulance sirens wailing day and night. As activities disappeared, so did her sense of self. Like her year in that Ozark trailer, she was again separated from family, her body feeling encased in ice when thinking of her children in Canada. By mid-February 2021, after a year with no vaccines, 20 inches of snow, and -5 temperatures, Pfeiffer's yearning for family had become physically painful. Then, during meditation, contemplating the Buddhist three poisons, anger, ignorance, and attachment, she finally understood that her constant yearning was causing her suffering. She needed to surrender to what she couldn't change. Connection had always felt like life or death, but she was no longer that abandoned child. When this revelation came, tension flowed from her body, her breathing deepened, nightmares stopped. The pandemic had taken her to her core loneliness, but she learned that deep happiness is independent of conditions. It's a matter of attention. 2 weeks after their second vaccination, Pfeiffer and Jim drove to celebrate their son's 50th birthday, their first time hugging his family and dining inside since before the pandemic. Standing in the spring green yard, her blood feeling like champagne as the slanting sun etched everything with gold, she took nothing for granted. On the drive home, she decided that while home might be the most beautiful word in English, perhaps reunion was even more beautiful. Or maybe they're the same word. And there's another beautiful word, acceptance. We are palimpsests, our lives layered over 10,000 generations of ancestors. Pfeiffer's story began as a baby watching dappled light through trees. Now in her eighth decade, she's returned to childhood patterns, enjoying family gatherings, waking at dawn to watch wildlife, reading in her hammock until dark, finding joy in dappled light. Through meditation and mindfulness, she's become more present to beauty and primed for ecstatic experience. Light is her intoxicant, whether watching sunrise over a lake or rainbow bathing with her prism. In her truest moments, she disappears and becomes one with the light. What Pfeiffer finally understands, the golden light that enfolded her and her brother during their reunion wasn't supernatural. It was her first glimpse of a truth she'd spend 70 years learning. Light isn't something that happens to us. It's something we become when we stop arguing with reality and accept life exactly as it is. The question isn't whether darkness will come. It always does. The question is whether we've learned to see the light that was always there, waiting inside us.